you know, the Genesis and great product. Listen, everybody's putting out a good product, you know. But I think also too, it's now it's a level of stature, right? You know, like you're going down, you got $120,000 to spend, right? And you know, I think people in the back of their minds would rather pull up to a light in a BMW 7 Series than they would in a Genesis, right? If you're going to spend the same money, you know, you also have that person too, right? I mean, you know, it's yeah.
It's becoming right now.
No, right? I mean, you hear it all the time. Like, hey, we're gonna have that like the sales guy versus the reviewer.
Listen, it's like you guys are so natural. We just skipped the intro. Should we just let the? I just want to make sure. I've been listening in the background. Can you guys see that link from the screen share? Check out the second one.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I guess we'll hit it off. So in the near future, I was planning on doing YouTube live, but obviously the feed doesn't feed the podcast audio, so it's a little goofy for anybody who's watching, but we'll just get started. So this is officially podcast number 5, Conquest Cars Canada. We have a special guest here today. His name is Sam Carlegian, YouTube celebrity and personality. Dare we say it, Sam? Are you an influencer?
Sure. I think at this point, I've gotten to that point right now with so many videos, but I don't think I'm as popular as the rest of them, but I'm getting there slowly.
Sam, we welcome you. Thank you.
Yeah, no, we've been talking already for like 10 minutes, but hey, we start off as is tradition. Is there anything today, Sam, that you want to explicitly let people know that you're not sponsored by?
Sorry, I didn't hear that part. I think my headphones are...
Is there anybody today that you're not sponsored by? You just want to make it clear if we talk about any brand in particular, anything you're wearing?
I'm not sponsored by anyone. I'm sponsored by my own pockets.
Nice. That's good. Sam, I'm not sponsored either by anything. I a lot of stuff's going to slip out of my mouth, and you guys are going to think right away that this guy's sponsored. I am not sponsored. And for all the others out there, it's Nick and Nick from Conquest Cars Canada, and we thank you for listening again, and we welcome you, Sam.
I appreciate this, guys. I was actually looking forward to this today.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, man. We got to make this more of an occurrence, but it's funny. We'll pull up a couple articles. Like, obviously, you see I have a couple here, but we honestly just end up talking about two of them and getting way off track, and we could talk about car stuff forever. But it's not even technical car stuff. It's just good conversation, right?
Absolutely. Right.
Yeah, so I totally killed the mojo. You guys are in this beautiful, beautiful conversation flow.
But you know what's funny when you're talking to Sam, and even you know met Sam many times and things like that too, right? You're always a reviewer and a sales guy. You know, here you go, right? It's always going to be something, something, something. Like you said earlier about customer service. You know.
There is no customer service on my side. My job is my position is very simple. I am out there telling people exactly what cars offer. You are out there telling people what they can get in your brands, what you can offer them. And you know, people they ask me all the time about should I lease or should I buy. Like, I'm the wrong guy to say that because first of all, I'm not into sales and I don't know all the back work, like, you know, the back office thing that you guys are very much involved. I personally tell people if you can't lease, then buy a used one. If you can lease, then buy a lease, get over it, 3 years maximum, and just, you know, done. I was just telling Nick that a buddy of mine went from Santa Fe used. He was going through hell with that car and then moved to a Mercedes lease. And he's extremely satisfied. He got a wagon and he got an amazing deal and no one could beat it because the car was actually a test model. So he got...
Oh, like a demo.
Yeah, like a demo, right? So he got about... With the same package that he got that wagon, they were offering other dealerships. I actually hooked him up with a couple of dealerships that I personally know, and they could not get it near that price monthly. And that include wear and tear, that includes service and all that, maintenance and all that. So 3 years, and we're talking about it. Now he moved from an SUV. This is a family guy with three kids married into a wagon. And I was talking to him and I said, how do you like it so far? He's like, it's the best decision I've ever made. He said he was in the shop with a Santa Fe that was only 1 year old every other 6 months or so, every 3 months.
Wow.
And he just got fed up. The last time I saw him, the windshield wipers just went completely. They wouldn't work. So he had to go to the dealership. He's like, the point, it's not about, going to the dealership. It's wasting my time. It's not about the problem here and there. It's not about who covers it. Is it under warranty or not? He's like, I'm wasting my time. My wife is driving with my kids, and then the car just breaks down in the middle of the road. Now I have to leave my job, go and help her out and take the car there and so on. So he just got fed up with it. And I said to him, you don't have the time to fix this car. You don't have the time. Your wife doesn't understand this stuff. You're always working. He's constantly working. And his job requires him to work. And I said, you need to go for a lease. I said, set a budget.
Leases are way easier, honestly.
It makes more sense. Man, remember I had my Focus RS?
Yeah,
I got rid of that car in 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
That's crazy, yeah.
Because the lease transfer. And the reason I got – it took 2 weeks is because I was taking my time responding back to people. I didn't have the time to – there was a guy from Nova Scotia that was going to come down here and take it because the deal was amazing. And I had taken care of the car. I had no tuning in it. It was bone stock. It was just straight from the manufacturer. Even the tires after 1 year were almost brand new. So, you know, they saw that potential. But you couldn't do that with a financed car. You couldn't transfer finance. You either have to.
You know, it's funny you say that, Sam, just a moment. But, you know, when it goes back to your friend there, switching vehicles like that, I think a lot has to do with it also, too, is a peace of mind. Right?
Yes.
Now he's got a peace of mind. He can wake up in the morning. He knows he's got full warranty. He's got a vehicle that's probably going to give him no issues. Right?
Nothing.
And he can just continue with his day. A lot of people forget that, Sam. When they're out buying a vehicle, they forget the after sale. Right?
Yes.
They run for a deal. The way their buying habits are. They don't take other things into consideration, like what's happened with your friend with the SUV, you know, and leasing is such a small obligation, you know, like if you take a lease for 3 years and the payment's $400 a month, right? And you say, well, I never lease. I always like to buy, but I want my payment to be $400 a month. You've got to carry that car for 84 months. Right, if you want to get the same payment, and people don't think about that, 7 years of owning a car and paying for it I get that, and I support it. You know, I do. You know, more and more in my career, I truly support leasing, and
it just makes sense.
It does.
Yeah,
and
you always have the option to buy it out. Your buyout's your buyout. So if you love your car and it gave you no problems and you're just enjoying it, you could buy it at the end. So you know what I mean? Like, so it's not like you're further behind. You know, you have the option now. Go ahead, sorry, guys.
No, I was going to say you're right. And the thing is, too, obviously, most dealerships, like, it's such a win-win situation. They want you in the dealership more often, right? So there's always pull-ahead programs. There's always incentive. Like, I have just by chance, I pulled up the Infiniti article, but it's my understanding that Infiniti will actually – there's a lot of programs month to month. They'll be able to pull you out of your current lease, like up to 4 months, I think, like depending on what they have running for the month. But that's crazy. Basically, you know, they'll break you out. So if you have a, let's just say a 36 month lease, in some cases they'll be able to break you out at 32, right? Yep. With wipe your hands of it with no money owing. So, you know, it's an easy opportunity. Like Sam, again, you transfer that car, a lease transfer, like it's such an easy thing to do. And the guy was happy, right?
Well, he was extremely happy. On top of that, we shared the lease transfer. I just thought, you know, it would be like I paid half of it. It was like $250 each person was $500. Thankfully, Ford doesn't charge a lot compared to BMW, which is like $1,500 to transfer your lease. But for Ford, it was like $500. It literally took 2 days to do the whole thing. We went, signed together, in and out in no time.
Beautiful.
It was. Man, here's my fear of the future is that you can't predict the future, what's going to happen to you as a human being. You can hurt yourself and not be able to pay your payment, not to work anymore, especially if you're self-employed or you depend on commission. What's going to happen if you go down that hill? You hurt yourself. You can't transfer a finance. You can't sell your car with the price you bought it. You lost money. You're always going to lose at least 10 to 15% if you're selling it used. And on top of that, if you're in a rush, people are going to take advantage of the situation. You're going to pay more. There's a guy, I want to end this conversation on the lease, and we can start on this Nissan because it's a very good thing that you pulled that up, Nick. There is a guy that I know, he teaches middle class and wealthy people. He teaches their kids about instruments, like the piano, the violin, and all that stuff. Like, he's a self-employed person. And I just found this guy through Facebook. I was talking to him, and we start talking about finance and lease and all that. This guy has been leasing cars since 2009, he said.
Whoa.
And he said to me, Sam, I have made about $20,000 in profit. And I just thought, how are you making money in profit? Very easy. He's like, there's desperate people out there, that, or people that don't like their cars and want to get out of a lease, that will give you $3,000. He's like,
insurance.
Yeah, he got a Range Rover, right? Range Rover Sport. The lease was like $1,200. The guy gave him 10 grand cash because he was leaving the country. And the dealership was asking him to pay the rest of the year, which was double that. And yeah, he's like, I'd rather give this guy 10 grand. He gave me 10 grand cash. He's like, I didn't pay for like 9 months. I was literally leasing the car for only 3 months. He said,
wow.
Literally, he said, yeah, I got out of it. I was done. The kilometers were there. He said, I was very careful with the kilometers because he had a limit number for that year. And what I did is just literally use my wife's car, use that. And we worked the way we finished. And he's like, I had a car for a year that I barely paid for 3 months only or so. And, you know, he said he's been doing this since then. He said, that's all I do. He goes on lease busters, find a good deal. He waits till one is done, waits for the other one. He always makes
sure. Sam, let the people know we're not sponsored by LeaseBusters. We have friends. We have friends at LeaseBusters, but they have yet to sponsor this podcast. But go on.
No, they have not sponsored that to make clear. But there's a bunch of them out there. Compared, you know, there's a bunch out there that people know about it. It's not just that specific name that I mentioned. There's a bunch of them that actually do. You can do it even standards. Sites that they sell cars. So, you know, you have the option. This is a good article over here, and I've met Jill McIntosh before at one of the meetings there. Infiniti could be downgraded to Nissan Plus due to falling sales. You know, Infiniti, in my opinion, guys, has been through a rough ride since, I'd say, about 2010 or 2011 or so. They've brought out some amazing cars, and then now all the new models they have for 2020 that I have reviewed are so behind. I can't even compare. I can't take an Infiniti and compare it to a Mercedes anymore.
In what way? Like, let's start from the inside out. Like, let's just talk about the interior.
Some of their models don't even have Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.
Yeah, that's even unacceptable, honestly.
You know what I mean? They don't even have they don't even have a hybrid option as well, I believe, in their lineup.
Really?
They don't even have – for some – I believe – don't quote me at 100%, but I do know most of the models that I've reviewed don't have it. Mostly they're like V6 or four-cylinder. They have amazing engines when it comes to the, you know, the profile, the actual outside profile of the vehicle. Beautiful style, like the one that we have in their beautiful cars. What they lack on is mostly – the interior and technology to be as good as other, because they're a luxury brand. They're not Nissan. They're a luxury brand, and they need desperate. And I think with the CEO of Nissan, taking the plane illegally from Japan to Lebanon now, because he actually saved this brand. People can say whatever they want, but he brought Nissan from the dead and Infiniti, and they need either to make new cars, new models, or stick
okay,
with Nissan.
Okay, so let's give you the perfect scenario here, Sam. So it's 2021. You get to redesign the QX60. What are you doing, and what are you adding to that car to make it better than a Mercedes?
First of all, it needs new style on the outside. It's been like that for almost 5 or 6 years now. They've just done a few tweaks here and there. It definitely needs better interior in terms of the cluster. You need better infotainment system. They have two screens in there. They're useless. They have two screens. They have two screens inside. They're literally useless. They freeze all the time. They're not as fast. They're not as crisp. I mean, a freaking what do you call that? The Kia has a better screen. I mean, the Kia Seltos has a better screen than this guy's. Really? They need to add more features. They need to add more features in terms of the passenger seat, the driver's seat, features for the people that buy the SUVs, for example, you know, for the tailgate, options like that, potentially hybrid options as well. But I will say mostly focus on the interior. You need to make the car hyped. You know what I mean?
Sam, can I ask you a question? Sorry, I may cut you off here, but here's a good question, though, for me, even both of you. Why do you think manufacturers don't do this stuff? Why do you think they slow down? Because Infiniti does put out a great product. They've always had a beautiful style, but why do they hold back so much?
I want to just throw in, too, the thing that I find so bizarre is, like, the Nissan Leaf is a pretty good competitor. Nick, when you were at Toyota, didn't you have a lot of cross shopping between the Nissan Leaf? Like, the price point is good. They have EV tech, you know, and the Aria is their new EV SUV I have pulled up right now. Like, that should be an exciting product. But you're right, Sam. It's so weird that none of that EV has made its way over to Infiniti. Like, Nissan does have some good products. They have some excellent leases. You know, the warranty on them is solid. I'm pretty sure 5-year, 100 kilometers. But yeah, like, to follow up Nick's question, why do you think the Infiniti just kind of stopped? What's the deal with that?
You know, when Steve Jobs died, rest in peace, we all thought that Apple was going to die too. And somehow they haven't died yet, but they changed course completely from what Apple was, for what Apple stands for, and what Steve Jobs built the company to be today that we enjoy and people that like Apple. And I'm talking right now from a MacBook, but you know.
And he's not sponsored.
He's not sponsored.
it all comes down to the top, the leadership all the way to the bottom. It starts like that. If you don't have the leadership pushing the company towards new styles, new options, new cars. Let me go back to Kia and Hyundai, okay? Because this is the perfect example. In order to have a great company, you must hire the most professional and skilled people in the world. And that's what Kia and Hyundai did. They hired people from, I mean, the Sonata was designed by the guy that designed the Murcielago, for God's sake. Like, that is insane.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh yeah, look it up. The head designer of, I think he just quit, but he was the guy that was part of the team that designed the new Hyundai Sonata.
Wow.
So that's the next one they hired from Bentley. The Kia Stinger was developed by the guy that was the head of BMW M Performance. Okay.
That's true. Yeah.
So these guys are hiring. When Nissan, the previous CEO of Nissan, the guy that left, I forgot his name. He actually, Carlos Ghosn or something, he actually was the one that brought Nissan back, and then he introduced the GTR, the R35 that we know today. And that's when Nissan became the new Nissan, right? Right now, they don't have that leadership. And on top of that, Infiniti has been dragging the same design since he started pushing the Infiniti brand and making new models and bringing new brands onto the line, because they had very few models in their lineup. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So when the GTR, if you watch the documentary of the GTR, see, performance cars, they don't sell a lot.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but that's what defines the brand, is the performance side. And that's how Nissan sort of came back from the from the dead, because you get all this hype from the media, YouTubers, and so on, and then out of nowhere, now this company becomes the new thing. Like, the Kia Telluride brought Kia back to normal, because it's been tested, and I have reviewed that vehicle almost 15 times, and people just keep wanting to watch videos. I just did one versus the Ford Explorer ST, and it's growing and growing because people want to see more and more.
Yeah.
The Kia Telluride, it's another interesting vehicle that redefined SUVs in terms of technology. They brought in some new tech with it, like the blind spot assist, some of the features that have won some awards. The new benchmark, as you can see, it says online of the SUV and been like wanting. So things like that. Nissan needs desperately a hype.
Yeah, they need that's one of the things too. Like that's one of the marketing angles that Cadillac's taking, right? Because obviously they kiboshed their whole lineup. They, you know, had a little bit of a renaissance, but the whole idea now is they're super focused on the idea of making the CT6 like that flagship, right? The $100,000 sedan. But the whole idea behind it is the technology, the super cruise that you can't get on anything else, right? The autonomous driving but it's just that thing that makes it so cool. Right, it's not necessarily that they're selling a lot of it, but it's tech that they're applying now to all their other Cadillacs, right?
Well, it gives you, but also too, Nick, you know, and from a reviewer side and a consumer side, it gives you something to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. At the end of the day, they're coming in and you're going, and this has this, right? And people get wow.
Yeah.
But then they go, okay, but I don't need that. But it's so cool to know that it has it.
Yeah.
This company's going places. It just creates a nice buzz.
Yeah, you're right.
Right, and that's where you get that good vibe. You know, you walk over to somebody and you got a $150,000 car over there.
The Halo car,
he's not buying that car.
Yeah,
but he's gonna feel good because then he's gonna tell his buddies, "Well, I didn't buy it, but did you hear they have so and so?
Exactly.
I got this model. I got this model instead.
Exactly.
So, yeah,
right?
It's really neat. Yeah, you're walking around with a big stick, right? So it's nice. It's nice.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like Sam, to your point, the GTR, like the Nissan. You're right. That was a while ago, and there really hasn't been, you know, much talk about it, I guess, right? Like I'm guessing a store will probably sell one of those a year. But again, to the point, it's just about the technology that they're pushing something forward, whether it has a safety feature or a transmission or gas saving or engine or whatever, right?
Right.
And that's where they test that really cool piece of innovation, right? As proof of concept. But yeah, you're right. They don't really have one of those cars. But Nissan Plus, come on. It would always, that's such a journalist thing to say. Nissan Plus, like $1 million refacings of Infiniti dealerships. Sorry, we just we gotta scrub out the Infiniti. It's Nissan Plus now. It's not happening. What do you think, Sam? Did we lose you?
Sam, what happened? Sam's probably on right now with Motor Trend.
Yeah, exactly.
He's doing two interviews.
Yeah, exactly. And, the head of Nissan.
No, it's not what I meant to say, but you know why I was saying it.
Sam says, sorry, can't hear Sam.
Sam, I want my t-shirt back.
His battery ran out, classic, love it. Or his battery's nice. Dying. But that's crazy, right? Like, yeah, if you take an Infiniti, and you look at that, like I was chatting with Sylvie yesterday. She works at Infiniti. Surprisingly right now, Nick, this is something cool for you and I to talk about. Luxury sales are up. Like our Cadillac sales are up in a big way. Infiniti, she says she's never seen this much walk-in traffic before. It's just luxury cars are hot right now because people haven't been able to spend their money on anything, right? And I guess the people with money have been employed, right? So interesting.
Well, it's funny you say that because friend of Kelly's there wanted to get a swimming pool.
Yeah,
because they're not doing it. They're not doing anything.
Yeah,
like, and they can't get a guy out there. They can't get a guy out there till September.
Wow.
So yeah,
end of season.
People just, you know, they're doing other things, right? You know, they're not going on those big trips that they planned on. You know, like, you know, a nice trip for a week is going to be anywhere from $5,000 to $7,000.
Yeah, for
so
a family,
you squash
of course.
That. Yeah, and you squash next year, and you're not doing anything. And actually, when you're buying a luxury vehicle or even just a new vehicle, it makes you feel good.
It does. It
right?
Does.
And everybody wants to feel good.
Well, it's like, it's like the forbidden fruit right now. To be outside on the roads when there's no traffic, it feels pretty good, man.
Now, maybe in 6 months when you've got that $1,000 payment, you might be scratching your head a little bit.
Well, that's okay. You know, that's for the
Hey, for now it feels good, right?
Yeah, so, it's worth it. It's worth it.
It's absolutely worth it.
Well, then you look for that guy who's looking to trade his $1,000 a month payment. And he'll give you $5,000 cash. Take it off my hands, right?
That's right.
That's a crazy thing.
We'll have to call Sam's buddy, let him know. Right?
Exactly. You know what? I had a buddy and he lived downtown in a condo. He got a job and it's the exact same story. So he ended up having. So first of all, I don't even want to say it's a double whammy. It's a triple whammy. You got a car payment. Okay. You got an insurance payment. Yeah, no doubt. Standard. But you move downtown. Okay. Now what do you pay for? You pay for a parking spot. Right. So now he's paying $200 a month for a parking spot. He's paying insurance and he's paying for a car of which he never drives, right? So it's almost like in that case, yeah, he was happy to give away $1,000 to whoever would take over his lease payments, right? Because if it sits for the next 2 months anyways, that equates his car payment, his insurance, and his parking. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, because you have to have these vehicles insured,
yeah,
right?
So you don't have a choice.
If you're thinking about it right away and that's the first thing you're thinking about, you're like, okay, well, I'm not spending any money on gas, but wait. I'm spending $200 a month on insurance.
Yeah.
Right away, that's going to come up.
$200 on parking, $300, $400 on a car payment.
Yeah.
It's a lot of dough real fast, right? $400 plus, you're spending basically $800 a month for nothing, right?
Yep.
Think of all, Nick, I'm going to just close your eyes for a second. Imagine, think of all the wireless Bluetooth headphones you could buy if you just took that car off the face of the planet. You could buy 3 sets of headphones every month.
I just closed my eyes and I was visioning that. I could go jogging and I wouldn't have that wire hitting my square jaw.
Where do you tuck the wire if you're running with bicycle shorts, right? There's no
cord. Yeah, just hey, that's my wire. That's what I tell them.
There's no clean aesthetic for it, right? But listen, I'm telling you. So the best part, even the best part too about these new headphones. So you guys know I got new wireless Bluetooth headphones, but it's crazy, Nick. When I get in the car, it's smart enough to know that I'm in the car now and it takes my audio off my Bluetooth headphones and connects me in the car.
Wow.
Like,
that's impressive.
So again, it's all about the minor conveniences. It's hilarious. I know we're switching gears for a second. Talk. Yes, you're back.
Hey, oppa!
So we'll put it out there. We do need to be sponsored by Mac and Apple. Send us some charging cables.
Oh, isn't that funny,
dude? We were just talking about that.
I plug mine in.
To each new car,
yeah,
and go through the whole process. And if I get Infinity, it's a nightmare too. So I don't even bother. Their models, like the 2020 that I reviewed, didn't even have an Apple CarPlay. So I didn't even bother.
Ouch.
You have to connect it to a Bluetooth. It's a whole thing. So now I just use my AirPods and I connect them to my phone because I'm always on a call. I always get phone calls from Nick.
But Sam, let's be honest about earbuds, the wireless ones.
Yeah.
Come on, tell me you look cool.
That's all their job. That's all they do.
Okay, but
Sam, literally, dude, I swear to God, when you left there, I was talking to Nick about the new wireless headphones that I just got too. I got Jabras, and I'm laughing because I'm telling Nick, like, the small convenience that it gives you when I'm walking to the car with my headphones in, it's smart enough to know when I connect to the Bluetooth audio in the car. And then it just turns off the headphones. Like, it's such a minor thing, but it's invisible, right? It's just such good design, like such a good quality of life improvement. They're amazing.
There is a lot of options in new cars that actually make your life easy too, but at the same time, they make your life miserable in some cases. But there's like new features. I want to talk about 360 cameras and parking sensors because I just drove a couple of days ago, a couple of weeks ago, I drove an old car and had none of it. And I almost scratched the rear end because I'm so, I'm so used. I am so used to these 360 cameras and these parking sensors that
my ability to park a car without them, it's going down every time I drive. And here's the other problem with my position. I can't drive used cars anymore. I feel like these things are like 500 years old. It's just a nightmare. And you know, this is what technology does to you. It makes you, to put it nicely, incompetent in the long run. Like, your skills completely die. Like, you know, manual transmission versus automatic. This is the whole point too now. A lot of these tech features that are coming in are going to make our skills obsolete, because
I can't even remember my mom's phone number. So, right? I put it on my phone. I just click mommy. and that's it. What? You can't be 50 years old and call her mommy still?
Yeah.
Sure.
There you go. Well yeah, it's pretty wild. And so I was checking out, speaking of that, a new article. It's not a new article, but it's on the XC40, the Volvo, the electric version. And I know we're talking about Bluetooth infotainment and all that. I thought it was really neat. That car, and again, I just saw the intro video, the prompt video, but it's basically their infotainment is literally just Android. Like, Volvo just stepped out and they said, you know what? This is not even something that we're going to focus on anymore. I thought that was really cool. So it basically just runs on Android, obviously with Apple CarPlay, Android Auto. But how neat is that? They didn't even mess around with the gimmick of an infotainment. They just said, here, take the wheel, right?
I haven't seen their infotainment system. Can you pull it up a bit, maybe on your screen here?
Yeah,
so people can see that. That's very interesting. I love when they implement mobile software into vehicles, because soon I just have to call my car to come and pick me up. That's probably going to be the future. It's like, okay, I need you to pick me up at this time at Applewood GM, which again hasn't sponsored this the podcast.
Hey, Sam's getting it now, right? You can't
We have to, you know, every time I do videos, I'm always working with most of the time I work with dealerships, and I have to mention the fact that, you know, I work with them and let them know how to reach out and all that. And then people just think like it's another sponsorship. Well, if I don't get cars from you guys, where the hell am I supposed to get this car? So it's like, you need people to be sponsored. Otherwise, they will not exist. Like, that's the whole point of running a business. You don't run a charity, right? Even charities need money.
Exactly.
That's the one, the CNAT over there.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and pull it up. But yeah, so Android P. That's crazy. I don't know. The Wi-Fi is not doing me justice here. But yeah, let's just look at that photo. Android P. So it's literally just running like a crude version of Android.
Volvo loves to be the new thing, because they, as a brand, they have invented a few things. I do believe they invented the seatbelt. Was it that they invented?
Yeah. 1959.
Correct. They were the first one.
The three-point seatbelt.
Yeah, they have invented a lot of things. They love to be a pioneer in safety. That's all they're all about. You know, we were in Greece with my wife, and there was a guy had bought this XC90 brand new, and the system in their car does not allow you to continue driving if you don't have your seatbelt on. It even stops you from moving when you're parked. Like, I had one downstairs a couple of times; it wouldn't drive if I didn't put my seatbelt on. Maybe it was that specific model that I had, but I do remember, like, I was trying to drive it and it said, put seatbelt on and so on. And this guy, we were in Greece and his car just stopped out of nowhere. It wouldn't move. And I'm trying to help him to figure out what it was. And the car kept saying, put the seatbelt on, he didn't have the seatbelt on. And he's just like completely confused. They're a pioneer when it comes to safety. They love to make these cars as safe as possible. They're probably one of the, you know, the top brands in automotive to care much about safety. The rest of them, they just love about gimmicks or space or.
That's, I believe that's where it starts, right? It starts at safety, then design, right? You
correct.
Know, and
yeah.
I heard that they were doing testing, but they don't have a facility to do rollovers, so they just kind of do their own thing.
Yeah.
Right? To see. And somebody else was telling me that when they do the crash tests, they do it like, you know, when you know how they have always the man in there with the seatbelt on?
Yeah.
They also do it with a pregnant lady, you know, like a prop.
Yeah.
You know, and things like that, right? To see what the outcome's going to be for each person.
Wow.
So it's kind of neat how they really dig in.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing that I've always wondered. Like, you take a manufacturer like Volvo, okay, so they're going to focus on safety. Then you take a manufacturer like Toyota, okay, they're going to focus on making your best bang for the buck with safety features and drivetrain and engine and all that, right? And every
manufacturer, reliability, right?
Reliability, so. Right? The thing that I don't understand, and I'm going back to this, why so many manufacturers just dive in and refuse to, like, I think in a matter of a couple of years, everybody is just going to be running the Android or the iOS infotainment. Like, it just, it makes so much more sense. You know, you have over-the-air updates. It's just going to be way cleaner. Like, that's the crazy thing. Like, a company like Infiniti, if you're not going to spend money focusing on really putting money into your infotainment, like you said, Sam, I guarantee you they could probably have the same hardware. Correct me if I'm wrong. You could probably just run the Android version, and I guarantee you, like, I'm sure that there's licensing rights, and I'm sure that there's money that's owed. But at the same time, Google is free for me. It's the same thing. If Google is running on your system, right, in your car, of course they're going to be able to collect all that info. So I have a hard time that they'd pay, but
yeah. To add to that, you have to think of dependability in the long run. You see, if you have a company that depends on other companies heavily, especially when it comes to the infotainment system, you're making your company be dependent on them, and what you lose is competitive advantage. If you're going to use software from Google in your car most of the time, that means that you will be dependable on anything that happens to that company, which is Google. So the only time you will make a great car with a great software is if it's built in-house or outsourced, but based on your software requirements. So you can have, you know, you can add a freaking Windows if you want to your infotainment system. You can take a tablet and then just stick it up there, and you're probably going to have the same features, and you can find more of that. The problem with that, though, is that if companies start doing that, they're very dependable on other companies. And on top of that, it's not when they build infotainment system, they don't put as many options as you would get on a tablet, because then that's when comes the problem of how reliable is thing going to be in the long run. So there is a many, many testings that they do. So for Infiniti to upgrade the entire system, they have to do testing in this infotainment system. Will it freeze? Because if you move all those buttons that you have in the car into the infotainment system, then this becomes a security feature too and a safety feature. So if you look at Volvo, a lot of their buttons are gone. I call them minimalistic design. And they've done that, but because they're able to do with the software that they have built in with the infotainment system so that it will last longer. Otherwise, then your rating as a reliable brand will go down. So they have to make sure that...
Yeah, look at that. It's so clean, that aesthetic, right, man.
This software works. Like, if you... All their models have literally no buttons in there. There's, in the center, you have your volume, you have your seeker, and a bunch of other numbers in there, but that's it. Everything you need to change settings for your car, you have everything in the infotainment system. Look at that. It's just so minimalistic. And Volvo has been like that for a while. It's not just the new models. Like, for example, the CX-9, I love their the XC90. Absolutely amazing. And that thing comes with, as far as I recall, with air suspension system too, soft ride. And they have a little button in the center where you don't press to turn on the car. You have to, like, scroll into right and left to actually turn it off and turn it on.
Yeah, I remember you brought one of those cars around.
Yeah, I remember. It was like XC. They have those.
S60 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, S60. Yeah, yes, the red one. And they have those little things that they use. And their quality interior is fantastic. Their audio system is fantastic. The cluster is fully digital on their high-trim level models. And it displays you so many things. You have the map and all that. So they have great technology for being an old design, because technically I believe that is almost a 4 to 5 years old design of those. But
that's crazy, yeah.
And, you know, if you look at them carefully, they're just beautifully designed inside and all that. Like, they're just amazing interior. The steering wheel, like, that looks full luxury on. Like, that is a decent competitive brand that I can put up against Mercedes. I can't do that with Infiniti.
Yeah.
There's no. I think a Sonata will kill Infiniti completely. The only difference me against the Infiniti is the fact that it offers a twin turbo a V6 engine. But other than that, they're just, you know, they're very behind. They need to work on it or just kill it completely. I think the best thing to do right now with Infiniti brand is to get rid of it because. Right. It's killing their Nissan brand. Nissan just closed two manufacturing facilities in Europe. I think one was in Spain and one somewhere else because their sales are going down. And again, Nissan doesn't have a problem as a brand. It has a problem as a company.
take a look. Speaking of that, Sam, take a look at this Nissan Sentra interior. Jesus, that's nice. Holy, that's a Nissan?
Which one, a Nissan Sentra?
Yeah, with the cross stitching on the seats.
Yeah, that's very nice. Very nice. Yep.
Wow. Okay, Sam, what's the nicest car interior that you've been in of all the cars you've reviewed?
Hands down. Man, that is it's a very broad question. Oh, by the way, I told someone at Nissan that the Sentra looks like a Kia Stinger. They got pissed off. You see, I have no lock on what I say. I usually say what I think because, like, the Sentra kind of looks like a Stinger because of those vents. They're like round, and look at the Stinger; it's exactly the same inside.
Yeah, but Sam, you what you do is you're giving your honest opinion.
I don't like to lie.
Why would you exactly? You know, you. Everybody has a bunch of yes men around them. You know, yeah, they say, "Hey, how does this look? It's amazing! Oh my god!" And the other guy's going like this, going, "Oh my god!" You know, like, so you're doing the right thing. I know. I mean, I guess in the
you see, look at the little thing. Sorry, Nick. Like, look at the center. Like, it looks exactly the same, right? Look at it. Like,
wow.
Are you like you can only you know someone that can't see this thing would not like it's so obvious. Look at the buttons. Look at the thing. Like that Stinger is amazing. You asked about which car I like the most in terms of interior.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a luxury, I think Mercedes is they set the bar in everything. Really? Mercedes. Okay. If you look like a midsize. Like a standard non-luxury vehicle that you can enjoy. Non-luxury, you know, I think I would say Volvo, but for me, Volvo goes above the standard. They're a little bit more luxurious and standard. I'd say I really like the Toyota, the Camry TRD.
Yeah,
I like that. I like that a lot. It really, really changed my opinion about Toyota. Mercedes sets the bar when it comes to luxury, and I want you, Nick, if you can do me a favor, okay? Yep. I'm gonna blow your guys completely on this because BMW they completely messed up. So I want you to search BMW 2 Series Grand Coupe interior, and then search the CLA Mercedes CLA 2020, and what was BMW thinking, honestly? Look at that TRD. Beautiful car. Look at it.
Yes.
Amazing. Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think they offer all-wheel drive with it. It's only front wheel. But if they did, it would be amazing. So this is the Grand Coupe. This is new. This has never been made before. This is the 2 Series Grand Coupe. They offer a standard 228 and a 235, which is like the spiced up version, performance driven. So that is the interior. Like, look at that. Now, jump into a CLA Mercedes, just a standard CLA 2020.
Yeah, Nick.
Okay, we're getting there. Hold on. It's going to blow it away. Wow, it's way nicer, man.
Like, this was the BMW now, because I think this is a bit delayed here. And then now you're searching 2020.
Yeah,
CLA. Like, come
it's
on.
Way nicer.
Like, yeah. Come on. Yeah. And what's the price difference for base model? $500.
Wow.
Look at that.
Wow.
come on. Yeah. Like, how can you beat them? I did them. I put them up against each other. I think the video is like 150,000 views or so. And, you know, remember that situation we had with the, remember, Nick, we talked about this manager for Performance Auto, which again hasn't sponsored this podcast.
Performance Auto is not sponsored.
You know, we had this discussion about, he was mad that I compared the two Sears versus the CLA because they're two different brands. I'm like, do you think people are actually not going to compare these two cars against each other? I'm like, only someone that doesn't understand cars at all will not do that. But most people go and check both cars. I did them against each other, and the Mercedes just blew that BMW completely away. Like, just completely. Wow. Interior design, ride quality, tech features. They have, you see the digital screen there, starts from the cluster all the way to the infotainment system.
Yeah, those screens are beautiful. On the GLE, man. That screen, when you see it in person, I was blown away.
Blown away. Here's the crazy part about that design. That is the same design they used on the previous model, the S-Class, the big ones. And Mercedes, I've said this before, they set the bar when it comes to luxury. If what Mercedes had in 2007, now standard cars have it as well. They always set the bar to luxury. Now, if you don't care about that part, then it's a different conversation, but they always set the bar in terms of luxury. If you look at their new S-Class, the 2020 model, they've kind of like infused and it's been inspired by the Tesla model, because now the center is entirely a screen, completely a screen.
Nice.
And companies are moving into that. But what we forget about, and Nick will agree with me, is that the more tech you have in a car, the more problems are you going to have in the future.
Yeah. Wow, that S-Class is beautiful.
Look at that.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, I'm going to go out and lease one right now. I'm going to go out and lease Busters and see if anybody's in a jam.
You can. But you see that, like, this is what Mercedes does. They set the bar for everything else. And all these things that you see here are going to be in the next, I'd say about 15 years from now, are going to be in standard cars. Look at the door of that S-Class carefully, the side door. It was just, the entire thing was a door between the frame and the actual door. Like, you could tell different. This one is a full screen. In the center, you have all the control units in there. Your climate, the infotainment is going to be all in one. Look at that door, for example.
That's brilliant.
Right? So, you know, little things in there. I reviewed a Tesla a couple of times, and I just want to make sure that, you know, I don't want to have people start screaming here in your podcast, because Tesla fans, they love to complain. But I've said this multiple times. Tesla doesn't build great cars. They build terrible cars quality-wise.
Really? Okay.
Quality-wise, they do not. I mean, they have a lawsuit right now for paint, because apparently it's below standards.
Really?
Wow.
They have a paint problem. They've had many, many other problems. I think the Model 3 was the one, and the Model Y has problems. Because, you see, Tesla has the biggest competitive advantage, and I've said this in my Instagram before, the biggest competitive advantage compared to other brands when they want to catch up to the electric time is their biggest competitive advantage right now. It's their supercharger stations.
Yeah, they have across their infrastructure, right?
Across the world. You know, I say this all the time. What's his name? Elon Musk is a stupid genius. And why I say that he's a genius, because he knows what people want. And why I say stupid, because of all this Twitter thing that he writes all the time. But, right. You know what I mean? They want, if Toyota or Nissan or other brands want to take over the electric market, they don't need to build an electric car. Ford built an amazing, the Mach-E, but that's not the point. The point, if you want to take over that market, it's not about the car. You can buy a kit online and change your Camry into an electric car, okay? You can buy a kit, I think it's like $10,000-$15,000, a full kit that you can change your car into a full electric vehicle. the point is not about building a car. It's about providing what people are afraid of when they buy a new electric vehicle. What is the average consumer afraid of when they buy an electric vehicle? Range and charging. And that's what Tesla has offered.
Yeah, hey, exactly.
Hey, Sam, you're an old guy like me. Remember when propane was popular?
My dad has a Mercedes propane.
Awesome.
I am not kidding you. My dad has a propane Mercedes. It has the newest technology because the old Mercedes used to suffer from dry. And now what they have done is that I actually taught him how to fix some problems in his engine. They have used injectors where the injector for the spray for the gasoline is. Now they spray a minimal amount of oil, so the engine is balanced. This is German technology. The Mercedes, the car, the car came straight from the manufacturer with that package in. And my dad didn't even understand because he's looking at the engine and all these cables going in and out. And he's like, what the hell is this? I said, Dad, back in the days, the propane was... They made it to be the future, and then it just died down. But his car is amazing. Yeah. It has a 2-liter four-cylinder gasoline engine, and it has a propane in the back. And he gets like 400 kilometers for $10.
That's crazy.
Oh, but it's funny, you know, and it's funny that I bring that up because it's if you go back 20 years,
yes.
right? Propane was the thing.
Oh yes.
Right? You weren't. They killed off the electric car.
Completely,
right,
yeah.
Basically, you know, and they were zooming in on propane, and I remember everybody. Well, what's it going to cost to convert it? And these guys, these grads, were doing it, and it's just yeah. So it's just neat. You just brought up something there where you're talking about changing, going with a kit for electric car,
but
that just brought me back a few years about the propane. Everybody was excited about that. It was 14 cents a pump, right?
Yeah.
And, So.
It's still like, what do you guys? This is a good point to bring up here, if you guys may. Like, the electric future, what's the EV future look like? Mine, it's like, I'm very confused. I don't have a set opinion about this. Like, it's either, you know, and there you go, powered by propane police cars.
And another thing, too, is that you weren't even allowed to do it. You're not even allowed to do your own barbecue tank, right?
Yeah. Oh,
so you got to wait for a guy for 20 minutes to come out. He's pissed off. It's minus 40, and you he's got to put the propane in for you. He's got to put his big gloves on and everything. Like, I don't think those guys, they quit their jobs for sure.
I honestly don't. On top of that, he has no power, literally no power
right.
whatsoever. I mean, I can run faster than my dad's Mercedes.
Well, you're in good shape. Sam, you're in good shape, though. Right? And you got those earbuds, so you can run faster.
There's no wire. There's no drag from the wire.
Yeah, seriously, like, this electric thing right now, people are talking so much about it. I just don't know how the future is going to be. It's so hard to talk about electric vehicles right now because nobody knows how far they're going to go. Like, you know, if you don't see major companies to get into electric vehicles very heavily, then you're not. Tesla is just, what's the percentage of sales on electric cars right now, Nick? It's like, I think it's like 0.5.
Oh, less than 1%. Yeah.
0.5. So when Tesla started, 2009 was when it became big? Like 2008, 2009? We're in 2000.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Well, that's okay though. Our audience could correct us if we make any
mistakes.
Tesla came around in 1984.
Well, that's when. But if you think about it, like, you know, things haven't changed a lot in terms of the current brands. Forget about Tesla makes only electric cars, and that's all they're gonna do. But
yeah.
What I'm saying is that the current brands like BMW, Audi, Mercedes, they've brought on some electric cars. Like Audi brought their e-tron, amazing vehicle, but their sales are not as good.
What's your favorite electric car you've test driven?
Average price, the Hyundai Kona.
What?
Wow. That got great reviews, the Kona.
Dude, it's 400 kilometers, man. What else do you want? And it's only like $37,000 or something.
That's almost free.
Literally free. Like,
right? If you keep it for 100 years and get the electricity from your grandma's house.
That's it. Hyundai Kona, my favorite in terms of EV that is within a budget, okay?
Right,
you can't
right.
beat the range. You can't beat. What's the worst electric vehicle that I've driven? The BMW i3.
Ooh.
Whoever made that BMW, I've got so many dislikes on my video, but I don't care because I like to say the truth. But people are trashing that video because they see that they think that I hate BMW. First of all, I wear a shirt right now that has a BMW logo. So I don't hate BMW at all. I actually.
But are
love
you
BMW.
Sponsored by them?
And I'm not sponsored by them because.
Yeah, I'm only wearing the golf shirt, the hat, and the scarf. But
and I hate them, but they pay well.
They pay well.
Exactly. Like it's you know, the BMW i3 is such a disappointment as a vehicle. People are using the fact that this car is built is made off this recyclable interior. So if you're a sales guy, tell me if people come into your store and they say, I want a vehicle that has a recyclable interior. Nobody gives a damn about that.
And hey, I want to jump in. I want to jump in right now. So when the government of Ontario is offering the EV rebate, the huge one, $8,000, everybody came in. And I swear to God, I would hear people downstairs, you know what? Yeah, I'm so happy I bought this car, just doing my part for the environment, right? As soon as the incentive dried up, so did the sales.
It's always everybody
pretended like they were buying the car because they cared about the planet. No, it just it made it cheaper than any other compact car, right?
It's always the case. People care about the price. But the i3 specifically, it's such an amazing technological advancement, yet it is a total fail.
What did they get wrong, Sam?
Range and design. First of all, if you look up their ratings, safety ratings, they have below safety ratings compared to the Nissan Leaf. Okay. they had 4 stars out of 5. The Nissan Leaf had 5. Now, that had to do mostly with some pedestrian safety that they had going through. But I read.
Oh, that's no big deal.
Yeah, that's. But what blew my mind about the report is, I know, as if people don't care about pedestrian. Oh, that's okay.
I thought you were talking about large animal detection. You talking about pedestrians?
Elk and reindeer. Yeah.
But like. Like seriously, if you think about it, they had a report. I read the report online, and it said that it had a problem with passenger. They do this crash test, right? And the crash test had some problems with the passenger door. Now, you're going to make a product made out of a mix of carbon fiber and plastic. And you expect it to be as strong as steel or any other type of... I'm not an engineer here, don't quote me. But that kind of mixture in a material will not bring strong elements. They're not, you're putting so, and on top of that, the one that I drove had 20,000 kilometers. I'm not kidding, that felt like it had 100,000 kilometers. It was literally falling apart, the wheels. That car has the smallest wheels, and I wouldn't feel safe to drive over 100 kilometers on that thing.
Really?
These cars were built for Europe, where you drive 3 kilometers a year, right? They're not driven for North America, where we drive 3 kilometers a minute. So, you know what I mean? Like, we do, like, I personally, because I drive to dealerships, I do a week from 600 to 1,000 sometimes.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know what I mean? These cars were not built for us. They were built for Europe, where you drive. Like, my mother-in-law has a VW. It's from 2013. It barely has 30,000 kilometers. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And that would have never happened in North America. I've seen two-year-old cars with 100,000 kilometers here.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Because people drive so much. This is what we do. This is our lifestyle. This car is fantastic used because it lost, within 5 years, it's lost about 60% of the original, 70% of the original value.
It's brutal. Same with the i8, right?
It's exactly with the i8 is another one too. On top of that, you're going to pay an arm and a leg to get an engine extension, a petrol extension or gasoline. Extension. So you end up spending more money where you just go for the freaking Hyundai Kona that costs you $37,000 or so, and you got 400 kilometers single charge, and you're done. That's it.
Did you just put on your Hyundai golf shirt?
No, I didn't.
Hey, start changing his golf shirts and the Hyundai.
You can get a Toyota RAV4 hybrid too now. I think they're bringing a plug-in hybrid as well, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, Prime. We spoke about that. We spoke about the last podcast there, the Prime.
So, you know what I mean? Like, you have all these great options out there. Why would you want to spend that much money? And it doesn't even look good. That's the problem.
Like, right. It's not you'd have to know how to fight when you drive that car.
Literally, you have to. Right?
What did you say about my car? Right? You have to, right?
And I think
a great break off a piece of the door.
I think in some provinces you don't even qualify for a rebate because it's too expensive.
Yeah, it's over that. I think in Ontario it's $44,000.
This thing can easily go over $50,000.
Yeah. Wow.
So, and then what you get, like 300 kilometers on a single charge or 350 with the petrol? Like, it literally makes. And I think the reason why BMW has kept this so long is because they're going to introduce, they don't want the I division to die.
Yeah, it's just about preserving the engineering, right?
They want to continue the I division. They want to continue that. By the way, I also saw in Italy, I saw a tuned one. It had like tuned options in it. They had like, I don't know, spoilers around it. It looked like a sporty one. In Europe, they're quite popular. In the UK, they're very reasonably priced too. This is the other thing too. The price changes based on country. It's the problem that people face in North America. It's the biggest one is range. We need range, unless you can charge this car in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
We spoke about that a few episodes ago, and I was saying about it's all about infrastructure. You know, like when I was working at Georgetown Toyota, I would see every brand but the Prius Prime plugged in at our station.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Guys are walking over to Walmart, and they plug in their Leaf or they plug in their Volt. You know what I mean? Like, people were just there plugging in cars.
Yeah.
Because across the street didn't have one charger.
Yeah.
It's, I think electric car, I'm very confused with electric cars generally. I can't make my mind, the thing is that this kind of market that we live in, the time that we live in right now is very confusing for everybody. And I think it is also, it's hard to predict the future. You talked about the propane time, the time where everybody was excited about getting their diesel cars with propane, change the motor completely and put their propane that are like, I'm done with diesel. Now I'm going to get gasoline and put propane. And that's what everybody like. I went through a couple of those cars. A friend of mine blew an engine on his Mercedes E-Class because he put a propane converter into it because it dried up. The problem with propane back then is that they didn't have the safest technology. I know taxi drivers that had their cars blown up because of the propane thing. So everybody just went to their, like, it's cheaper. People are always going to find cheaper options. I think electric cars are great. I love them. They're fast. They're quick. I don't know about the environment. I'm not a scientist. I do know that they're extremely quick, in my opinion. But they're quick they're quick 0 to 60 because after that, they die down. Even the fastest Tesla past 0 to 60, they die down because they're a single gear. So in a long run, I've done drag races with electric cars. They're quick off the ground, off the stars. But I don't know if I'm willing to spend the money to get an electric car right now. It's just, it's very confusing for people too, because Hyundai is making all these petrol cars and is giving us electric cars on the other side too. They have to redefine their company, whether they're going to continue with electric or too many options gets too confusing for people too in general.
Yeah, like, and so last podcast we did was with Christian. He's at Toyota. He was talking all about it. He made a very good point. He said just the way that the technology works right now, there's no reason to make a full electric car opposed to a hybrid, because you're basically, and this is what we saw too, obviously at the auto show, right, Sam? When you divide the amount of battery cells required to make a hybrid car compared to a full electric, you're far better off from a production standpoint making five or six hybrid cars to one electric.
Yeah.
And even like talk about the RAV4 Prime. So yeah, it's got the electric motor, but it's only got an electric range of 80 kilometers. But Christian was saying they're a pretty big dealership. You know, they do a lot of cars, but they're getting four of these cars, and they'll probably sell 30. Am I wrong, Nick, in saying 20 to 30 RAV4s next month?
That's what, and you know what's funny you say that, because that's what happened with the RAV Hybrid. You're just basically taking orders.
Yeah, so you get four for the year, but you sell 30 of these cars a month anyway. So it's just like everybody wants one, but to your point, the infrastructure, the amount of work it takes to get these batteries and produce and have the supplies, it's just they mean well. They're great vehicles, but it's so hard to get a hold of.
Nick, do me a favor. Search Chile, like the country. The fuel cell deposit, battery cell deposit, something like that. It's gonna blow your mind. It's out in the field, and just I read it like an article a couple. There is a full open area in Chile that shows lithium. There we go.
Electric vehicles are driving demand. What are these? What are these?
Yeah, this is where they have the lithium for it's a mining area. Look at that. So Tell me something. Is that good for the land?
No, not at all.
Lithium sitting in that place, and especially the smell, and sitting on it, because it has to have a certain. Wow. Look at that.
So yeah, that doesn't look so friendly. These guys are in coveralls, right? They're not so in shorts, right?
I know. I want you guys to imagine something right now. Think about 90% of the car sales are electric. How much do we need out of this thing here to continue building batteries?
Wow. Yeah, you'd need a lot of.
Think about that. Also, think about this. Take my apartment building. We are, I don't know, what, 400 units here? 300 units? Yeah, imagine if 300 units, let's just be conservative and say 200 units will have an electric car per unit.
Yeah.
Will the transformers and all these electric cables that are connected to this up to the powerhouse be able to sustain all these vehicles charging at the same
Absolutely time? Absolutely not. Yeah. No way. It's either that or your AC, right? So choose wisely.
Sleep in the car and get your AC on, right?
Exactly, yeah.
You know, this is the other thing that people like Elon Musk think 200 years from now. And he's right, so to think about that, like, you know, to change the world. But at the same time, in our lifetime, I highly doubt it. We will see 90% electric car sales. I'm very, realistic in this, that I highly see, because you got to change so much.
Here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. The average turnover time. So Sam buys a new car.
Correct.
The chances are very, very good. In 4 years, Sam is buying his next car. Like, so that's the thing with electric cars. Everybody always, talks about the fact that the charge, you'll save so much money. Sam doesn't care how much money, like, that's great that he's going to save money over the course of those 4 years, but he's still going to buy a new car anyways, right? That's the thing, that if you get it, like us as a dealership, if we get a 10-year-old car, and let's just talk about putting let's say 20,000 kilometers a year, let's even say 10 to 15-year-old car. Like it's still over 2000. Like that's a 2005. You don't really think that's an old car. But if you were to drive a 2005-year-old car to the dealership right now with 300,000 kilometers on it, you would be given $250. Like it's scrap.
Scrap, right? Literally. It's so true. You are absolutely right. I had a scenario with a good friend of mine that had a Toyota Prius, and he got it for his daughter, and the battery died completely. They had to go back to the Toyota dealership in Kitchener. And they offered him $3,000. And they said, how much will it be to set up to put a new battery? They said about, I think with work was about $3,000, $4,000 or something.
Exactly.
Don't quote me on that, but I do remember he's saying somewhere roughly that. And he's like, I'm never buying an electric car because the battery just went. They're great in countries like Europe. I'll tell you why. In Europe, they pay because they have emission standards, and they pay based on the size of the engine.
Gotcha.
In North America, we don't have that law yet. People are enticed with electric cars because they're going to pay so little when you charge it. But don't forget, this is important, and people forget about this. the government, if the diesel, if the gasoline is not getting them taxes, they're going to figure out another way to charge you more taxes, and you're going to end up paying the same. If you're buying the electric car just to save money in petrol or, you know, in some rebates, in the long run, the government is going to switch. They will charge you the same amount of percent.
That's true. It's going to come back. They're not going to be any cheaper, right, if the government's not making money off gas.
They're going to find a reason, because they will say, guess what? We need to build more power units. We need to build more, what do you call it, in Oshawa, for the nuclear centers, yeah, to provide more energy. And what they're going to do with that is that they're like, okay, so we have to increase the tax. So now if you're paying $60 for your electricity every month for your house, you're going to pay double that, because now you're charging your car, and they're going to tax you on that because they need to tax you. That's the goal, right? And then you end up paying $60 for electric charging, and it will be the same as doing for a petrol. So the that mentality should never be used in this case. If you're thinking that in the long run it's good because you're going to save money in electric charging your car because it's cheaper, that's never going to work. They're going to change. I think in countries like Europe, it's important, but they don't drive as much, so they don't care. A perfect scenario was my wife's aunt. She just bought a BMW, and we were talking about, I said, why didn't you buy an electric car? It's cheaper. She's like, I don't drive that much. Yeah. Literally, that's, she said to me, she's like, I actually don't drive that much.
Yeah.
So, you know, to her, it didn't make any sense to buy an electric car.
Yeah, that's right. That's so interesting that it's different over there. Yeah, here it's like I think the whole thing in North America, like I guess at least in Ontario, it's just a scarcity idea. You know, if you were to ask Christian, though, he makes a good point. Like at this point, and this is what we're seeing now, most hybrids or electrics are almost on par with the price of their gas counterpart, right?
So almost.
Almost, but you know, doing the calculation of the tax, gas and fuel savings, it's about 2.5 years and you pay it off. So if you're doing a 4 or 5 year lease, yeah, it makes a lot of sense, right? It's just a matter of being able to get your hands on one. But wow, yeah,
With electric cars at this point is becoming all about Tesla. It's not about anymore. People, every time they think about electric vehicles, they all think about Tesla.
Sam, you made that point earlier in the conversation, though, because Tesla stayed true to electric car only.
Yes.
Right? So when you make that much noise in the market that this is what you do, then yeah, that's the first thing you're going to think of, right? When you're saying only out of 10 cars in your lineup and you only make one electric.
Yeah.
You're not creating any noise, right? So
Porsche just launched. Here's what blows my mind about auto. You know, sometimes the head of departments for these brands are like politicians. They don't think right. They made this Porsche, the electric one, the Taycan or whatever the name is.
Yeah.
And they want to compete against Tesla with it. Okay, first of all, let's get this straight. And I said this before. Tesla doesn't just make cars. If Tesla decides to shut down their manufacturing for cars completely, you know what they can do? They will just lease out their chargers to other companies. This is why I said to you before, Elon Musk is a stupid genius, because he knows he can. There is a book that everybody should read. It's called Competitive Advantage. And it shows, it talks about the ability of a company to be competitive in the market, and they have a different ways, whether it's logistics, whether it's price, whether it's delivery times and all that. Like Amazon has delivery times and price. Tesla has competitive advantage when it comes to charging, and of course they make a lot of hype as well. They're very good at making hype.
Yeah.
So if Porsche wants to compete against Tesla, it's not about 0 to 60. They show us all this crap in here about 0 to 60 and how good the Porsche was. We saw, remember Nick, we saw that together. I think we saw it at the auto show. It's an amazing Porsche. Again, it's a Porsche, right? It's a beautiful car. Don't get me wrong. But that's not what's going to take people to be convince people to get this car. It's beyond that. And this is why I think companies are wasting their money and their research in creating all these electric cars. stick with hybrids. It's easier. You can sell it to anyone. Stick to hybrids. I don't like hybrids, don't get me wrong, but I'd rather get a hybrid than get a electric car that doesn't have charging.
Yeah, that's true.
If I'm ever going to buy an electric car as a consumer, I will 100% go for Tesla, and I hate their cars, but I will go because I need a peace of mind when I'm going. My wife and I, we travel a lot and we drive a lot. I've done up to 20 hours of driving with cars, and I need to have a peace of mind that if I'm going to go down to Philadelphia, I don't have to worry about pushing my car to Philadelphia. Right.
It's true.
This is what it comes down to. And these guys are building all this Taycan and freaking Mach-E and all this great cars. Don't get me wrong. By the way, Ford, if someone from Ford is watching this, why in hell did you put that freaking thing in the, on top of there? Nobody could see it. Like, remember at the auto show, they put it on top of the display.
Yeah, where you couldn't even see inside. That was so silly.
That was so, like, they're trying to show us this thing, and it's like showing a cake to the guests and not giving them a piece. Like, come on, we need to test this thing. Like, it was the same thing, and I think this is what companies are getting wrong with electric cars. They're going about around. If I was one of their research or one of their head of EV department, I will say, okay, let's go to Petro-Canada and let's get these guys. Get a single cable in every station, you know, two or three spots, and we'll pay them $10 to $15 or whatever it is the price, and then charge the customers. That's what Tesla does. You have to pay extra to get free charging, they charge you straight to your credit card. It comes straight to your bill, so you don't have to pay when you charge your car. Look at the advancement of this guy, of this company, right? You don't even have to pay there. There's no put a timer or
pay. Yeah, it rolls into your monthly payment, right?
Exactly. And let's talk to Petro-Canada or Shell or Suncor in the States or anyone, and let's get this thing, get three charging ports in every gas station, and let's start building cars. But the problem is that they don't have initiatives to do this. They don't see the future in this, and they're just giving the market something they can show that, hey, we're doing an electric car here you go, but it's not
right.
It's not boost on to compete with Tesla. And the reason why Tesla opened their patents to the world is so that they can get, for Tesla it's better to have more competition, because more competition, more people will buy electric cars, more cars they're going to sell,
right? Equals more sales. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? As I said again, Elon Musk is a stupid genius and he knows what he's doing exactly. But I think we need to, like, brands like Ford have the research and the money to make a huge change in the market. I would buy the Mach-E if they could some way give me charging stations whenever I need them. And that's what's important. Range, they tackled the range. Great stuff. I love it. The Mach-E gives good range. The lower, I think it's like 400 to 500 kilometers or so. And then you go to the GT option, then that's when the range goes down a bit, which is of course normal. It's standard even with petrol cars. But you know what's important right now during this time is not compete with Tesla about building a car, because if that's the case, six guys in a garage can do it. literally, you get six guys, buy the kit. And there's actually on YouTube, there is an Audi S5 with the Tesla conversion. And, you know, I mean, this is what's important right now. But it seems like companies don't care about this as much. They're not putting a lot of effort in this. To them, it's just, let's give them a car. That's never the point.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, eventually it makes sense that, like, I think there's more than enough room at gas stations, you know, to be able to do that. It's just somebody has to step up and put that tech in place, right? Somebody's got to make a dollar off it. That's all. But I'm sure there's going to be many, many ways to profit off that in the future. And like, here's the crazy thing too. Like, think of just, if we're talking just gas stations, think of all the real estate, like, you know, that these companies own. Right. Jesus. The amount of real estate on these corners from gas stations, like the property value is crazy. So it's really interesting. Eh? Like, you know, if it goes that way, it's almost like that weird question, you know, maybe it's going to be, they'd be better off you know, selling it to a developer to put a condo on, right? Then if everybody's driving electric cars, God knows how long into the future that is, maybe 50, 60, 70 years, but that'd be such a weird coincidence, right? The guys decide that they're going to make more money selling the property than they can selling charging cars, right? That'd be so interesting.
How long did it take us to get to where we are in terms of automotives, in terms of the petrol cars? When did it first start? 1918 was the first Ford T model, 1913, 14, I can't remember exactly, but that's when it started, okay? And it took us over 100 years to build roads, to build gas stations, to build the infrastructure to drive this car. We didn't even have turning signals, and it was a woman from Hamilton that invented the first indicator, because nobody knew, they didn't, and it was like somewhere 1930s, 1935s. You can look her up. She was an actress as well, and she invented the indicators for the car. She used to use this flat. Brilliant, right? And then it came to patent and all that. It took us so long to get to that point. Do you think it's going to take us only 20 years to build the infrastructure for electric cars? That's not possible, right?
You know what? I'll be the first to say it. If I was a guy like Elon Musk, I would only allow electric cars on the moon or Mars.
Right.
That's where you're going to see only electric cars, man.
They're doing that now. Didn't he just send a spaceship up? They're going to start.
So that's so, guys, just wait another 150 years when we're colonizing Mars. Yeah, you're going to have a ton of EV cars, right? You're going to have BMW i3s. You're going to have BMW i3 dune buggies. And then it won't look so weird. It'll look like it belongs up there, right?
You sound very optimistic and futuristic, but it's like the problem with what we are, what we're talking about is that you were working with governments. Governments don't work at the same pace as corporations.
There's no government in space, Sam.
The less we have of them up there, the better it is, because they're literally messing up everything over here. But you know,
if anybody's listening from the CRA, Sam didn't mean that.
I think the CRA right now, they're worried about the CERB. They're looking into the CERB thing, if they can figure out who's scamming the government, as if the government is not scamming us as well. But you know, it's
imagine 100 years from now, and you're scamming the government because you're collecting unemployment on Earth and on Mars.
Man, Nick, you're always thinking, eh? You know, like he's always, man, Nick's always looking a way to make a buck. So if my kids are, hold that, Nick.
Nick, you think outside of the box, but too far from the box. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
You're literally 100 kilometers away from the box. You're just thinking way too far. You know, you make good points, but I think I just want to say this, that we are experiencing, I think, the most innovative cars that we have ever seen. My dad is 62, and his Mercedes is somewhere 2004, 2005. He likes those old. He's always been a Mercedes guy, and I tell him about all his technology, tech features that I find is all these new cars, and he just looks at me and he just, you know, he can't believe it. So right now, I think even a Kia and Toyota, all these base model vehicles that are not non-luxury, are offering some impressive technologies, some impressive features that 10, 15 years ago, that you couldn't even think of them. So during this time, we're experiencing some of the craziest developments in automotive, I think, and there's going to be more. It's just a matter of time. And I think, you know, I just hope these things are as reliable as the Toyotas are, but it's just, you know what I mean? Like, it all comes down to, you know, if there's more technology, there's always going to be more problems, and more problems is going to have a high cost. But if they all have similar technologies, that means they're all going to be unreliable, and which means they're both going to be at similar ratings anyways. But I wanted to pick your Do we have some more time, Nick? Are we good on time?
Let's. I think we should wrap it up probably in 5 minutes. I'm getting weary. I have a whole lot saved on the browser right now, and this has been a good episode. So
yes, absolutely.
I'm starting to sweat here, but
when I start about cars, I can never stop. So you got to stop me. My wife has to like poke me every time I talk. Every time I talk about cars, she's like, "Okay, start slowing down."
Okay, let's do final thoughts. Let's wrap this up in 5 minutes.
I mean, first of all, I just want to thank you guys. This was awesome. I actually got to talk a lot and talk, you know, and share ideas as well, and hopefully maybe help people out there watching this in making some sort of smart decision, you know, hybrid versus electric versus petrol. We shared a lot of that in here. You know, it's a great discussion right now, and it's an ongoing discussion. People are going to keep talking about this. It's in every discussion. Every time someone talks to me, they're always telling me about, so what do you think about electric cars? It's always it's the topic of every conversation right now, every time we talk about cars. And I think this conversation, it's never going to stop, and it will continue for a while. For how long, I don't know, but it's definitely, it's a good topic to talk about, and it's a great time to be alive. And I will say this, despite the fact that we're going through some, you know, coronavirus right now and all that, I think it's a great time to be alive. The automotive industry is changing radically, and it's bringing out some amazing, amazing vehicles that, you know, nobody thought that would be possible to drive and to own. You know, like the new Sonata, for example, it drives itself. Of course, there is a recall on it, but that's another discussion. that's another discussion, but you know, it parks itself, and you know, there's things like that. You couldn't find that in those cars before. Now you can find it in a $35,000 Sonata or $40,000, whatever the price is for the ultimate trim. But I think the discussion for EVs and hybrid models will continue, and there's always going to be that clash between these two segments.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Sam, just going on a moment here. Listen, we like when we ask an expert like yourself, because you know you're out there, you're in tune, you're reviewing the latest greatest thing, and you're driving a lot more vehicles that most consumers do when they're coming out and they're making a decision. So, you know, what you put out there is valuable information, and we thank you for that. Truly do.
Absolutely.
We thank you for being on the show too. And, you know, we're definitely going to have you back again, because, you know, after listening to you here, you are an expert, you know your stuff, and we appreciate it. And I hope our listeners and viewers do as well. So again, from definitely from us and from me, thank you, Sam, this was great.
I can't wait for round two.
I appreciate it. This was a lot of fun. I really appreciate this, guys. It's my first time. So, I hope I did well on this, and I hope.
Were we gentle?
It was perfect. it was perfect. I had an amazing time, and you know, I love when I share opinion and when I talk with people that know their stuff. Like you, both you guys have been in the business for a while, and Nick too. You've been longer, but. You know, you understand the other side, because there are two sides of this. There is the sales guy, as you said before, and there is the reviewer. We see things differently. You know what I mean? We talk about different things, and we see things differently. And I think,
but Sam, you have to be transparent. You know what I mean? Like your audience is so big that you have to give your honest opinion. Now, whether they go out and drive it themselves, and they see something that maybe you know, that's just what it is. But you know, you put out a good product, Sam. That's for sure.
I try to be as honest with people. And the problem is with when it's out there in the internet, on YouTube, viewers come from different backgrounds and different countries, and everybody starts telling me that there are different products in their country, different this and different that. Sometimes we make our own mistakes by not mentioning some feature and all that. The result is that. But I always tell people this, watch YouTube, it's good for you. Watch the reviews, read the reviews, go onto websites. There is great websites like Conquest Cars Canada. You can find so much information.
Hold on. Repeat that.
Nick, you guys have made an amazing website and there's so much information. Now you have your trading tool and all that. It makes huge, you know, there's a lot of information for people out there to buy cars. But, you know, when I talk about reviewing cars, I always tell people, go out there and test drive them. I tell them,
yeah, 100%.
Tell the sales guy to be quiet and just test drive the car and enjoy and see everything.
Don't be rude.
the visibility and all that stuff. And talk to the sales guy. See what he says to you. You know, talk to them because they, when you start talking to them, you guys will agree on this. They start telling you things that you didn't know. And then you have all this, you have so much information, because once you buy that car, you walk out of the dealership, there's no coming back. It's not like buying a phone that you have 15 days to return. This is you're talking about a different category here. You're in a different industry. So I always
this is a big purchase, you know, Sam. You know, the biggest purchase after a car is a house, right?
Exactly.
And you know, if somebody says, "Oh my God, Sam, thank you so much. Your review was awesome, and I wind up buying it, and I just absolutely love it." I think the best review you can get from one of your reviewers is that he sends you a message in 5 years and says, "Thank you, thank you for your honesty."
Exactly, it's so important.
And that's pays dividends, you know. And again, I like your videos. I love what you do, Sam, and we love supporting you. And you just keep on going, man. This is amazing.
We are together in this. We're gonna go through this together. We'll grow together and get people the information they need to and the help they need to, because there's so much out there that it confuses them. And you know, you guys are doing a fantastic job on Conquest too. Like, you're giving so much information to people. I really appreciate this, guys.
Yes. Thank you.
This was awesome. Nick, good stuff, Nick. I like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And hey, the good news, like I said, guys, is I think hopefully in the next few weeks, Zencaster has that video component. We'll all be able to get on video.
Awesome.
I'm gonna chop this up nice. Obviously, we found you can release the long format podcast, and you know, people's attention spans on these clips is about 5-7 minutes, something like that. But you know, some of them do well. And yeah, man, I want to have you on again. This is a ton of fun. This has got to become like a regular once a month thing, honestly.
I am all in, man. You guys have my attention on this.
Awesome.
Beautiful.
Well, guys, this has been a lot of fun. We're just, and the funny thing is, we're about an hour and 41 minutes in, but it's like, feels like we just started.
Literally, yeah.
That's awesome. Well, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Obviously, this is episode number 5, special guest Sam Carlegian. We're going to have all of Sam's contact information, of course, in the description, everywhere you can find him. It's almost like a vice versa, where you can find him, you'll find us, and where you find us, you'll find him. So thanks again, Sam. We appreciate it. Nick, any final words?
No, listen, guys, again, thank you so much, Sam. Thank you, Nick. And thank you, listeners. Hope this was a good one for you. And please stay tuned. We're going to have another Ask an Expert on soon. Thank you so much for listening, and be safe.
Have a good night, guys. Bye-bye.